Hi, guys.
Hello, hello.
Stassi is really sick today, so we're gonna bang this out as fast as we can.
I hope everyone's staying warm and huddling together if you don't have power.
You do know a lot of our people are international and have no idea what weather you're referring to.
Oh, well then in that case, I hope the weather is nice wherever you are.
Last time we left off, we were talking about the 12 tribes.
Oh yes, the one and only.
We were talking about our good friend, Elbert Eugene Spriggs Jr.
Yes, Gene.
Gene, also called some other names.
Yonek, I think it was.
We also know that the 12 tribes are not a fan of Martin Luther King, black people in general, gay people, and they do not believe in multiculturalism.
Yes, very interesting stuff. They want to be sequestered off.
So they seem very much your basic, like, you know, xenophobic uncles. And then we get to the notable craziness.
Yes, notable craziness. Here we see a lot of occupational training of the kids.
When I think occupational training, I think of when I had to shadow other waitresses before I was allowed to be a waitress.
I think of like when you go to a technical high school or something, and they're like actually teaching you
how to be like a welder.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So basically what this is that the kids start working with their parents when they're super young, and they make all sorts of different goods, like jewelry, candles, soap, leather goods, they'll make furniture.
When I was a kid, I couldn't make jack shit.
No, I remember, like, the beaded jewelry and, like, the shrinky-dink jewelry.
Shrinky-dinks.
That was, no one would have paid shit for that.
I remember, like, rage quitting trying to build with Legos because I couldn't figure it out. Like, I can't imagine making leather goods as a child.
For sure, yeah.
Although these kids have no choice. The kids in the 12 tribes are not allowed to play.
Mm-hmm.
They're not allowed to have toys, and they have to be supervised by adults at all times.
Classic.
Much like the Quiverful.
Yes.
Which again seems like the adults making life more difficult for themselves.
It also reminds me a lot of our good friends in Australia. What was her name?
The Family.
Yes. The kids are constantly surrounded by an adult, and whenever they are spoken to, they have to respond, yes, Abba, or yes, Ima, which I believe, if I'm saying that at all correctly, is supposed to mean father and mother in Hebrew.
They do have a lot of, you know, Hebrew linguistical influences. Everybody has to pick, as we talked about last episode, a new Hebrew name when they join the group. They're also rather infamous for not only are the kids making leather and not playing with toys, they're getting the shit kicked out of them.
Yes. The 12 tribes say that spanking kids helps them to, quote-unquote, drive out the devil, and that it's keeping the kids from becoming mean-spirited or disrespecting authority figures.
Best case scenario, they're gonna develop a fetish as older people.
I didn't even think of the fetishes.
Worst case scenario, they're going to turn around and become abusive adults themselves.
Mm-hmm.
There have been so many studies that prove spanking your children is just bad for them.
I've had to do a lot of research, well, not a lot, but a good amount of research into corporal punishment practices in this country for my juvenile delinquency class, and I can't believe how much that shit still goes on today, and it's not regulated at all. And that's just private school.
Yeah.
We're talking a private cult. I mean, public school. This is a private cult.
A private cult? Like there's public cults?
Oh, yeah.
I know of a school that practiced corporal punishment into the late 90s.
Jesus.
In Massachusetts. It's
so crazy.
But so another one says that discipline is vital. If you don't discipline your child according to the scriptures, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven.
Yes. So they're very much the spare the rod, spoil the child. Yeah.
Which I've always thought was a garbage expression.
Yes.
That should be in,
it's catchy, but it's garbage.
It's garbage. It belongs in, like, Scarlet Letter times. Now, we have an ex-member whose name is Kayam Mathias, and he grew up in the cult, and he said he was beaten 20 to 30 times a day.
Jesus Christ.
His little sister was as well, often for no particular reason.
No, you don't need a reason to beat your kids, hell.
Actually, someone else in the group who remained anonymous said they used to teach that anyone in the group could spank any children, so some random creepy motherfucker could grab you and beat your ass.
Just the thought of that is terrifying.
It's gross.
Yeah.
It's gross.
Luckily, Mathias managed to escape, actually, when he was 14 years old. And the day he escaped was the first time he saw an ATM or a vending machine or anything like that.
Could you imagine? It's like one of those fish out of water stories where someone travels here from, like, another time.
Yeah, I mean, it's but, like the Quiverful when they learned about medicine and police.
Yeah. It's not a quirky, amusing thing. It's more like these people have lived a hellish life.
Yeah.
There's also a practice in the cult, he recalls, of restraining, which is gripping people, even babies, by the back of the head and yanking.
So I'm imagining, like, a cat mom picking up the cat by the back of the neck. Is that correct?
Yes. Like, okay. Sort of just the scruff, like the top of your C1 vertebra
there. I definitely do not enjoy the image of someone holding an infant child by their head.
I don't even like when people touch my neck.
No.
It freaks me out. I can't imagine doing that to a child.
Ugh.
They also tell the kids, the adults, that if they try to escape, they will die.
That's so healthy for child development.
It's just classic child abuse.
There was one member called Sven who would be told, quote, you lost control of yourself if he ever tried to do anything, what's it called, rebellious.
I was gonna say human.
Yeah, that too.
Some of the rods that they hit kids with are dipped in resin.
That's great. Oh, hello, Nanette.
Oh, can you hear the cat meowing? Hi, you motherfucker.
She's looking at you because she knows you're using that laptop and she wants to climb all over it.
Me and Yvette have a very difficult relationship.
Did you call her Yvette?
Did I say Yvette?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh my god, who's Yvette?
I don't know.
Apparently I hate her too.
The kids... Is this the kids or is this kids and adults? I'm assuming it's adults included.
Oh, so yeah. So now we know how they're raising their kids in such a bang-up, loving environment.
Oh yeah, these kids are just living.
The day-to-day of their life is kids and adults wake up at 5 a.m. I don't know if you've ever tried to wake someone up at 5 a.m.
It's painful.
It should be a brand of torture. Not getting woken up at 5 a.m., trying to wake children up at 5 a.m.
Oh, no.
I am just saying...
That in and of itself is a lot.
So, the 18 years of my life at my house growing up every morning was one bathroom, six people, children 10 years apart trying to be woken up, a dog was running around, people were screaming and slamming the door on each other's faces, it was chaos.
Good times.
Good times.
I'm sure these kids are probably a little more compliant than you and your siblings, though, I would imagine.
Yeah, because we weren't raised in a cult.
Yes, exactly. By 6 a.m., everyone goes to a standing-only prayer meeting, which is called Minna, and that goes on until about 7.
The standing-only thing is such a specific fuck you.
Yeah, it's like, this is how you get to wake up, congratulations.
It reminds me of when they wake up, like, Navy SEALs when they're training and then make them swim a mile, like, 2 minutes after they wake up. It seems just like a very physical way to control somebody.
Yes, for sure. And hey, that is... What is a cult if not constantly looking for new ways to control someone?
So after this early morning...
prayer meeting, you're feeling bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Everyone's sent to work in farms and workshops. Sometimes children attend the community school or attend church. Often they just get sent to work. Sven, who we talked about earlier, ran away from the group when he was 14.
That seems to be the age.
Which, it does seem to be the breaking point for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And he, one of the inciting incidents of this is that he was beaten for imitating an airplane.
That confuses me. I mean, doesn't surprise me that a cult would beat a child over imitating an airplane, but I just kind of want to know, like, how he was...
I imagine it's the way kids do, where you put your arms out to the side and you're like, mm.
I was wondering if it was just the noise, or if there were arms included, and if that should make a difference.
If it's just the noise, it's more of, like, a vocal stimming thing. I feel like you need the arms to really be...
You just beat the shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
And then, of course, he started to wet the bed. A lot of the kids do, so they get beaten more, which, again, why do people not see the causation, correlation of this?
It's so fucked up. And the fact that the people who are leading these beatings are called educators.
Ugh.
That's so Scientology, I feel like.
It really is.
Yeah.
Another notable incidence of crazy at age 14, an unnamed woman said that when she was 14, she was caught kissing a boy who was also in the group. They were immediately separated, sentenced to communes on opposite sides of the country, and forbidden from contact. At the same time, they were sentenced to be married when they turned 18.
That's so not cool.
It's so contradictory, like, do not see each other, but now you have to get married.
Do we have any updates on her?
She said that they were shamed after 3 months of marriage because she wasn't yet pregnant.
Great.
Which is just some animalistic, like, pandas at the zoo kind of aggression. She eventually escaped after community approval of her soured because she wouldn't beat her children to control them.
That's so wild.
She's out, luckily, after all that shit.
I hope her kids managed to escape with her. So Michael Welch, who is a reporter, actually got to go undercover into a 12 tribes group in Winnipeg, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very interesting article online that he wrote, and he includes tons of photographs. And he takes these photographs of switches that he finds throughout the campus or compound or whatever it is.
It's like a really fucked up Easter egg hunt.
It really is. And he finds about 20 rods.
So that's a CBC article.
Yes.
Which is the Canadian Broadcasting Company.
Yes. So he finds about 20 rods, and he says that the locations are, they're not super obvious. They're not in plain sight. So they're kind of just like on a shelf somewhere, maybe leaning against a wall, like just like not gonna catch your eye the second you walk in, but when you notice it, it'll make your blood turn.
They're everywhere. It's like their only form of entertainment.
Ugh. The majority of the men have very labor-intensive work. They work in a deli, a bakery, and packaging yerba mate.
What's that?
I want to say it's a drink.
It sounds like a drink.
It's definitely a drink I've seen a million times in the grocery stores. I'm pulling up a photo of it now.
I know Yerba Buena used to be the name of San Francisco. But that's all I have on the word yerba. Yeah,
they have that, like, yellowy-orange packaging.
Oh, they're like those natural drinks.
I want to say it's like an energy drink.
An organic energy drink, so that seems in line with them. The last part of our notable craziness is a family called the Ilches.
I think it's Ilich.
Ilich, Ilches, Ilich. You're right. Ilche sounds like I'm mispronouncing something in Spanish.
Ilche sounds like just mispronouncing Ilich. But okay. That's okay. So, it's a couple named Mark and Rosemary, and we'll try to refrain from using surnames from now on.
I have a learning disability.
In 1996, this Australian family, Mark and Rosemary, along with their two young children, Undilla, who's their daughter, and their youngest son, Abraham, they go to a festival, and this is where they first encounter the lovely people of the 12 Tribes community.
Never go to a festival.
Yes, festivals are just breeding grounds for
Here's what's gonna happen. Cult. You're gonna lose a fucking arm on a ride, you're gonna get into a cult, or you're gonna get addicted to some new form of cocaine that we don't even know the name of yet. And that's advice from your friendly neighborhood Hallie there.
So, they join this group. They're swayed, they're seduced, and they think it's going to be a fun new adventure for the whole family. So, once they're in the cult for a while, Rosemary gets pregnant and she delivers a stillborn son.
Now, when somebody has a stillborn, you know, the typical human reaction would be sympathy.
And horror, well, not horror, but
sadness.
Sadness, I'm so sorry for your loss, grief.
I'm gonna make you a casserole.
Yes. Can I take the kids off your hands for the night so you can just unwind? Cry. Yeah.
Well, the 12 tribes chose a different approach.
Oh, yes. They told Rosemary that it was God's kindness to kill her son because, quote, it would be evil to bring into the world with parents like us.
So they believed that any children they were producing were basically the spawn of Satan.
Yeah, Rosemary and Mark were not having a good time.
And the elders forbade them from ever having sex again, lest they get pregnant with a demon baby again. And they complied.
Yes. Which makes sense, because when literally your entire community is like, you are no longer allowed to have sex, you're not gonna really be, arguing that passionately that you should, I would imagine. So, Rosemary's family begins trying to contact her and her family. They actually begin traveling into Australia from out of the country to try to speak to Rosemary, see her. And so how does the 12 tribes handle this, Hal?
The tribe starts moving this family like they're cocaine. They get shuffled from property to property. They even consider separating them. They're basically just hiding them anytime any outside family gets close to finding them and trying to talk them out of this.
Yeah.
Their teenage son, Abraham, crazy fighter, fought tooth and nail against these people, this tribe, every chance he got.
My personal favorite anecdote was that when he was 15 years old, the elders asked him if he wanted to get baptized, and he told them all they could get fucked.
I respect that. Also, who thinks it's a good idea to force a teenager into a cult?
Well, he was, I want to say he was 3 when they first encountered 12 tribes at the festival, so he probably was in there very young.
That's even more badass then, that he was, you know, kicking and screaming the whole time. Mm-hmm. So this angered them, obviously, that he told them to go get fucked. Yes. And they sent Mark and Abraham to New Zealand and kept the mother and the daughter there.
Yes. So that's very fucked up. I think at this point they had had another child before the stillborn boy. So Mark, Rose, Abraham, and their youngest daughter actually managed to escape, and they moved to the Blue Mountains.
In Kentucky?
No, I think in Australia.
Let's check. They moved to the Blue Mountains, not in Kentucky, as I thought.
So they moved to the Blue Mountains in Australia, but the eldest daughter, Undilla, or I'm imagining it's Undia?
The world was not good to her name-wise.
Yes. She's still within the cult. She married and had kids, and she wants nothing to do with her betraying, ooh, what's the word I'm looking for?
Her traitorous family.
Yes. Yes.
Stassi has a fever, guys.
My brain is like a brick wall right now.
So I guess their retention rate of this family was 1/5, so 20%, not a bad retention rate.
Oh, man.
It's better than nobody.
Where are they now?
They are worldwide. There are about 3,000 members in hundreds of isolated compounds cut off from the rest of society. There's establishments in the US, Canada, the UK, Germany, France, Spain, Czech Republic, Austria, Argentina. Filmmaker Wolfram Knigge, I can't say his name, K-U-H-N-I-G-K, infiltrated a German settlement of the 12 tribes with hidden cameras. And he captured 50 beatings on camera.
Yeah.
This footage eventually led to a police raid where they removed 40 children from the compound.
And how was our good friend Gene Spriggs?
Oh, yeah, he really repented. He's just full of remorse, and now he runs a daycare. What the fuck? He lives in homes in North Carolina, Brazil, and France. Still alive, apparently. A former member named Joellen Griffin told the Boston Herald in 2001, "There are so many teachings that keep you from being who you are. They keep you from being human."
That's a bummer.
Hey, what does Rick think?
Hallie, I know you're wondering what Rick thinks.
Always.
We're all wondering what Rick thinks. And his quote on Gene Spriggs was that, quote, "Gene Spriggs is the ultimate hustler. And Estee Lauder and Sundance butt into that hustle. Spriggs's success was based almost from the start on free labor."
Thanks, Rick. I still think we should have a theme song.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
I thought we were going to do another Vivaldi.
That was my attempt at a Vivaldi.
Any recommendations?
Sleeping 20 hours a day.
Not getting anemia when you're 10 and almost dying.
Keeping your immune systems intact from an early age is really just underrated, in my opinion.
Oh, poor Stas. So Stassi and I were chatting when we were watching The Producers about John Barrowman, and then I got possessed with this urge to watch Torchwood, which I don't think I've seen since I was 17 years old.
Oh my god.
And then it came up on Amazon Prime, and I watched it, and it is so hysterically cheesy, and the lighting and acting are so ridiculous, and I had so much fun. And so, like, my recommendation is to engage in silly nostalgia once in a while, because it is always such a kick to watch early 2000s sci-fi. Stassi's half of the Pacific Rim duo, love of her life, Bernd Gordman, is smoking in it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So young.
Owen. All right. Look at my cat.
her cat looks like a dog, almost, because she's, like, splayed out on the floor.
She's definitely lying down like a dog right now.
She is. And, like, I don't know, I can't even really describe it, but if you have a dog, you know what I mean. They do that thing with their legs.
Yeah.
That cats don't really do. Cats more curl under themselves. Dogs kind of splay out.
Although I have little lap dogs at home, and they always curl up.
Maybe it's because they're so little. Maybe it's a size thing.
Maybe. Any hoozles.
That was your cat corner. We have lots of new segments today.
Oh, man.
All right. Contact us at cultsofourlives@gmail.com. Join us on the Facebook group. We love to hear from you. Be excellent to each other.
I don't know if anyone's, like, actually ever followed me on Twitter, but I'm deleting that soon if I haven't already, so please don't be alarmed.
Stassi is a Mennonite?
Yes.
Or is it a Luddite?
I'm Amish.
Whatever the ones are that hate technology.
Yep.
It's not great
it's
for
12
me.
It's 12 tribes.
Because I use technology to define my sense of self. So we have an opposite issue here.
Yes. All right, people.
Bye. Get some rest, Stassi.